He's got more to do to get today back over at Lincoln Park. So let's just say to all these guys, congratulations to all of them. And it's really for us to think about where we've been as a church. And for those of you who are really new, 4 years ago in February, we started with 70 people from the Lincoln Park campus. And 1 month after we started, COVID hit and we shut down. And we were like, God, what are you doing? And what's going to happen here? My family and I had just moved up from the Twin Cities area, and we just were moving into our house, and all of a sudden, there was no community to gather with. There was a lot of Zoom that we did. My son Josh at the time was just in early middle school, and no kids to meet, no neighbors to hang out with. It was just a really strange and unique time. And then to see when we reopened, 70 people. All were here when we reopened. And then our first year after that, after COVID, we literally had 20 people that moved away. 20 people who had jobs that were, and the jobs took them other places. And these were people that were really a crucial part of our ministry. They were leading in a lot of different ways. And we were like, okay, Lord, what's going to happen? But at the end of that year, we still had 70. That meant 20 new people came in. And now we're almost double that size. And now when I think about it today, you know, watching us graduate seniors, just what a blessing it is to see how God has worked and what God has been doing. Now, I'm saying all of that because this Sunday is kind of what we're calling a vision Sunday, where we're reminding all of our campuses what our vision is as a church. Most of the time, we are preaching from the same text and the same passage, and we have a preaching team, and we meet on Mondays, and we go over the passage together. We challenge each other. We come up with a big idea that we're consistent across our three campuses. But once in a while, we do what we call a campus-specific message, where each campus pastor gets the freedom to kind of choose what they want to preach on for our context and where we're at. And one of the things that I like to do when we have Sundays like that is I like to remind us of our vision as a church and that we're part of a bigger organization. We have three campuses. But we all have the same purpose and the same vision. And so what I wanted to do today, and again, I wanted to say this if you're visiting, normally we work through a text of the Bible, and we've been working through the book of John. Today it's going to feel a little bit more like a topical message, but we're going to kind of zero in on the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. But I give you all that history to remind you that we're fairly young campus. We're a fairly new campus. We just turned 4 years old, and we're wondering if that even counts with a COVID year in there. And so as we think about what God has done, and as I was thinking about the seniors today, just thinking about all the things that he has been doing and all of his faithfulness during these last 4 years to us as a campus. But I want to remind us, because it's really easy for us to kind of get off and do our own thing and think about our campus and what we're trying to accomplish, and miss that we have actually a really healthy and strong purpose and vision statement as a whole church. And so one of the reasons I came up here was because because Rock Hill was a church that had all of these things already in place. I had pastored two other churches where I had to create all the vision, all the purpose. We rewrote the constitutions in both of those churches. And so there was a lot of work trying to create a vision and create a purpose. And to come to a church that already had that and had it in a good, healthy place was really a joy for me. So I want to remind us this morning what it is that we're about as a church. And so one of the things I'd like to do is just, like I always do, is just ask you to take 30 seconds to pray, ask the Lord to speak to you. And if you're visiting today, this might seem a little bit different because it's a vision casting for our church, but I pray that you'll have a couple of things that you can take away from this today too that will help you in your spiritual journey, all right? So let's take a moment and ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. Lord, we ask now that you would speak through the preaching of your word. Give us ears to hear and hearts to apply what we hear. And help me to preach your word truthfully and accurately this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So after giving you all that history, you know, when I first came to Rock Hill, I often was asked this question. What was my vision for the Chester Park campus? And at first, it would catch me off guard because I would always answer Well, it's the Rock Hill vision. Whatever is Rock Hill's vision, that's what I'm trying to do here at Chester Park. I later learned to answer it in a little different way, and here's how I answer it now. My vision for the Chester Park campus is to take the Rock Hill purpose and vision and contextualize it to the Chester Park campus. So we're not doing something brand new. We're doing the vision and the purpose of Rock Hill just in Chester Park. And that looked a little different because we were three blocks from UMD. We were less than a mile from St. Scholastica. We were in a different neighborhood than the Lincoln Park neighborhood. And so it looks a little different, but the purpose and the vision is the same. So it wasn't a new vision, but taking what I believe was a well-thought-out and thorough vision and purpose statement that already existed, and Rock Hill had already worked on for a lot of years, and I think it's a good vision and purpose statement, and just implementing that here in our context and where we are. So it's not something brand new, but the reason I preach this kind of message once or twice a year is to remind us, because what we call it at Rock Hill vision leak. Vision leak is when we have vision and it leaks and we don't continue to focus on that vision. And then all of a sudden, when something leaks out, then we got all kinds of things going on and we lose our focus and our purpose. So in my opinion, the well-thought-out purpose and vision stems from the Great Commission. What we have as a church, this vision and purpose statement, I believe comes from the Great Commission, where Jesus simply calls us to make disciples. So our starting point this morning is going to be the Great Commission. And what I want to do this morning is just kind of remind us of our vision and purpose. Okay, so what is our vision and purpose? It's not new, but calling us to be on mission together. The part of vision leak that becomes a problem is that we're not all on the same page and working together. And so I want to just remind us several times a year what our purpose and mission is so that we're all on mission together and that we're carrying out the vision, the purpose that God has called Rock Hill to. So we're going to talk about what is our vision and purpose, and then we're going to talk about what are we going to be about in order to accomplish it. So you got to have a mission and a purpose, and then how do you carry it out? What are we going to do? Where are we going to spend our energy and our time? Because sometimes what happens is if we're not focused on our purpose and vision statement, we get frustrated and discouraged, and we spend a lot of energy saying, what are we doing and what is our purpose? So let me read the Great Commission to you and give you a definition of a disciple, because what our vision is as a church is to make disciples everywhere. Right here in the Twin Ports area, throughout Minnesota, throughout Wisconsin, throughout the world. So at the end of the day, what we're wanting to do as a church is to make disciples of Jesus and to be disciples of Jesus. And this is what the Great Commission says. And listen to it. It's very familiar to many of you. You can read it. I think it'll be up on the screen. This is Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, and this is one of my favorite parts, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." So just a side note, we're not going to focus on this today, but if you wonder who holds the authority, if you're watching the news too much, if you're watching politics, if you're watching sports, if you're watching the media, you're going to think somebody else has authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, and that's good news today. So I'm going to rest in that all authority has been given to him. And because all authority has been given to Jesus, he says to his followers then, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, over the years, I've taken that and used that to help me create a definition of a disciple. You'll read all kinds of different people having different definitions of what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus. But from the Great Commission, I've boiled it down to these three things. The definition of a disciple of Jesus is one who believes in Jesus, who learns about Jesus, and then ultimately obeys Jesus and walks in obedience. And we see this in the Great Commission. Therefore, he says, go and baptize. Baptizing means that they believe, right? So that's where I get that piece that the starting point is belief. Belief in Christ, then they're baptized, and then they learn about Jesus because somebody is supposed to be teaching them, and then somebody's supposed to be learning, and then it leads to obedience. So a disciple of Jesus is one who has put their faith in Jesus, who is then willing and open to learning more about who Jesus is, which will lead to be obedient to Jesus. So when I think about making a disciple of Christ, that's the filter that it all runs through for me. And did you know that everybody that you know and everybody in this room is somewhere in this process? Either they haven't believed in Jesus yet, or they've come to believe in Jesus and now are learning and growing in Jesus, and then hopefully growing to maturity, which is obedience to Jesus. But everybody's in that process. And as a church, we want to be about making disciples who then multiply and make more disciples. And so that's where we see our purpose statement. So our goal is to make disciples, but here's our purpose statement. Why does Rock Hill Community Church exist? And the purpose statement is what we do. Here's what we want to be doing as a church. This is something that has been worked on by the leadership well before the time that I came here and said, this is what we want to be about as a church. And so our purpose statement, why we exist, is to do this. We exist to multiply gospel-centered disciples, small groups, and local churches that bless the city, the region, and the world. So if you're ever wondering, what is Rock Hill about? That's what we're about. It boils down kind of simple. What we want to be about is to multiply gospel-centered followers of Jesus. And gospel-centered is a broad picture of what it means to be a disciple, a belief in the gospel and what it says about who Jesus is and faith in Christ, a living out of that gospel and how we live our lives. And then we call it delighting in that gospel, where we spend time worshiping and growing deeper in our faith. But that's what we exist for. We exist to multiply. And we want to see disciples multiplied. We want to see small groups multiplied. If you're part of a city group, you've already heard us talking about all of our city groups at some point. We want them to multiply because we want people to be invited in so that they grow to the place that we have to go, oh, we got to split this up and start more. Because multiplication means that we're doing the things that God is calling us to do. And ultimately, we want to multiply churches. And we were a part of that. Chester Park Campus came from that vision of multiplying campuses and churches, helping churches. We helped a church at Lake Nabagama who was a church that was dying, and we sent a group of people and a pastor there, and now it's a thriving church. We planted a church down on Cloquet. We now have the other campuses besides Lincoln Park, ours and Superior. That all came from this vision, this purpose statement about what we want to be about. Now, there's a lot of other things that go on in our lives, right? But at the end of the day, those are the things that we say as a church where we're focusing our attention, and what we want to see happen is to see multiplication. People come to faith, disciples grow, our small groups and communities grow, and again, the need to plant and make more space. Did you know that right now Lincoln Park is running out of space? Now, we're running out of space. We're praying and hoping that at some point all of our three campuses can start something new. And because we're running out of space, that's a good problem to have. And so that's what we're about, though, is multiplying disciples, small groups, and churches that bless the city, bless the region, and bless the world. In June, one of our missionaries is going to be coming back from Kosovo, who has gone over there and started a church. And we're going to celebrate that. That's around the world. And God is working and doing those kinds of things. And so we're going to celebrate those things. So that's the what we do. Our vision statement. So that's a purpose statement. And I'm going to send these things out. I'm going to do a little plug here. If you don't get our weekly email, I would really ask that you would take the bottom of your bulletin, put your email on there and your name, throw it in the offering plate. Once a week, we send out an email that recaps the message. And it gives you a couple of announcements. So it's not intrusive. But this is one of the ways that we try to communicate, and I'd love to send out our purpose statement to you and our vision statement so that we would actually know it. We were just talking as a staff the other day about how do we know our purpose statement? Has it sunk in deep enough that we can repeat it so that we know what we're about and what we're trying to accomplish? So our vision statement then is how we do it. The purpose statement is what we're about. The vision statement is how we do it. And this you're familiar with, at least the first part. We do this by declaring, displaying, and delighting in the gospel. We say that almost every week, so you've gotten used to that. But we do it by declaring and articulating and speaking about the gospel. We do it by displaying it and living it out. And we do it by delighting in it personally so that we have times of worship, we're in God's word. But what we sometimes have forgotten is the second half of it. This is our vision statement. We do this by declaring, displaying, and delighting in the gospel of Jesus through a redeemed community of sent people. We do this by being part of a redeemed community, a group of people that have been saved by Jesus Christ, a group of people that have been bought back by Christ, fallen, we struggle, we're human beings, but we're a group of people that have been redeemed and we formed a community. And now this community, we're sending us out so that we do this together as a group. I had a friend the other day, and I just want to remind you, we're a redeemed community. We're fallen, sinful people. We make mistakes. We sin. We actually sin against one another sometimes. And these things happen, right? I had a friend the other day said something. I thought this was profound. I take this with you. He said, I want to surround myself by a group of friends that I can disappoint. Think about that for a minute. What was he saying? He was saying, I want to have a group of friends around me that I can disappoint because I'm going to be disappointing. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to not always do the right thing as a friend. I want to have a group of people around me that understand that they're redeemed, that understand that when I stumble and fall and goof up, when I don't return a phone call, when I forget an email, when I say something that maybe was hurtful and I didn't even realize it was hurtful, a redeemed group of people go, well, I'm redeemed too. So maybe I just either forgive that person or I go and I reconcile with them or I go and I talk it through. I just thought it was so profound because I'm going to tell you something. I want to be a pastor of a group of people that I can disappoint. Okay? Because if we're going to be a community of believers that journey together over a long period of time, it's going to happen. There's going to be times when as a community we disappoint one another. There's going to be time when there's friction. There's going to be time when there's tension. What this vision statement is about is saying, I want to declare and display and delight in the gospel in a redeemed community of people that has a long leash of forgiveness, a long leash of being able to say, you know what, let's just reconcile this thing. Let's fix this so that we can just celebrate together and be one together and then go out and do the mission and be sent and accomplish what God has called us to do. Listen, this, if you don't remember anything else today, I hope you remember this part. We're a community of redeemed people, not perfect people, not sinless people. I'm redeemed. And my standing before God, I'm in a right place with him. And sometimes that gets hindered. Sometimes this gets hindered. And all of those times I come back to the gospel. Because the gospel gives us the power to be a redeemed community. The gospel gives us a power to be on mission together as a redeemed community, going out and leading people to Christ and inviting people into that place where you can be messy. I want to be a church that you can come and be a mess. I don't want you to stay there because I think the gospel can help us change and grow. But man, if you look at most of the trajectories of any of our lives in this room, it probably has a curve that goes something like this. Whoa. And I mean, that's life, right? Our spiritual journeys maybe have been all over the place. And maybe right now you're in one of these places. Maybe right now you're up here. But we want to come together as a redeemed community to help each other to walk in faithfulness with Christ. So our purpose and our vision, these two things come together, and it's what we are about and how we do it. One of the things we say, though, with this vision statement is we desire to be a church that emphasizes, with this idea of being a redeemed community, theological precision. Head knowledge, we want to be accurate theologically. This is a church that we are passionate about theology, and we want to be accurate about our understanding of who God is and what the Bible says about who God is. So we want to be precise with theology. But we also want to see godly living, and we want to see heart transformation. And then we want to see an intentional mission that we actually go out and do something with all of this. What we have seen historically in my journey throughout the church and in my life is sometimes we lean to the head part and the heart part, but sometimes not the hands part. What I've seen in the churches that I grew up in and that I was a part of, we were concerned about theological precision, which is really important, and we were concerned about godly living, which was holiness and the heart. But sometimes we didn't really care too much to use our hands in a way that got them dirty and working out in a community of fallen people and in the world around us. We desire to put those three things together, where we think carefully about who God is and what the Bible says, that our hearts are being transformed by the Spirit so that we live with godly lives and walk in holiness, and that we have an intentional purpose. And you're going to hear more about that in the next few months. Intentional purpose about being out and in the world and connecting with people and serving the world around us. Here's just a couple of passages that help us with this whole picture of declaring, displaying, delighting, being a community of redeemed people. The great commandment, we've been talking about the Great Commission. Here's Matthew 22. And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." You want to know the first and greatest, most important thing? Is to love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, and with your mind. That means your whole being. And that's why we talk about it the way that we do, declare, display, delight. That you would love him with all of who you are. And the second one he says is like it, that you'll love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So let's just boil it down. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus will take it a step farther in John 14 when he says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." So the love for Christ is obedience to his commandments as well. So real quickly then, what we're going to do is just, what is the gospel-centered disciple then? If we're about making disciples and we talk about gospel-centered, what are gospel-centered disciples? Well, here's a couple of things. Someone who declares and displays and delights in the gospel of Jesus in a community on mission. That's what we think it looks like, is that we are going to be declaring, displaying it, living it out, delighting in it in our own personal lives, and being on mission. And we think that's what a gospel-centered disciple looks like. So our call and my passion for you is that you're going to grow in the ability to declare the gospel to people. That you won't be shy about that, that you would be confident that when opportunities come up, you can speak the gospel to people. It's going to be my passion is that we learn to display the gospel, that our lives are consistent with our faith and what we say we believe and how we treat people and how we live that out. And that we would truly delight in the gospel, that the gospel would be something that's glorious to us, because I'm not going to tell somebody else about it if it's not glorious to me. My passion is to see it be glorious to you so that you're going, "Man, I just want other people to know this awesome thing that I know about. This awesome experience that I've had in my life, I want others to have that as well." And so boiling that down, we have what we call six core identities. So we've got our purpose statement, our vision statement, and then what we call six core identities. This is how we think this gets lived out and what a healthy disciple of Jesus looks like. Now, these are hard things to say it like that. This is what a disciple looks like. But we're trying to take the Bible and take these concepts and bring them into a place that's really practical for us. So I can say, this is what I hope to see happen in your life. This is what I hope to see happen in my life. And so these six core identities are things that we're going to keep like pushing on and keep trying to see happen in our lives, because we think that this is what produces a healthy disciple of Christ. The first core identity, and then we're going to wrap up with these six, is the first one is worshiper, being a worshiper. Our goal is for every disciple of Jesus to intentionally and joyfully worship God in every area of their lives. That's what we mean by a worshiper, that you would intentionally and joyfully worship God when we gather, worship God when you're driving, worship God when you're spending time with your family, worship the Lord at your workplace, that all things we do can be acts of worship if they're done for the glory of God. And so one of our core identities is that we would be worshipers. Another core identity that we think is crucial for a disciple of Christ is family. Our goal is for every disciple to live an authentic biblical community that feels like family. Our goal, our passion, our desire is that you would come here and feel like family. Now, if you're new, that takes a while. We're hoping that all of you, especially those of you who've been here for a while, that you look around you on a Sunday morning and you say, I don't know that person, but if they're part of the family, I need to get to know them. I don't know that person, but if they're going to feel comfortable and feeling welcomed into the family, maybe I need to do my part to reach out and have that conversation with them. And if you're feeling like you're not being connected, then we'd like to talk to you about that and the ways that we get connected here at our church. And one of those ways is we call them city groups, and these are smaller groups where you can get to really know people and have connection. But our goal is that every disciple of Jesus would live an authentic biblical community and where they feel like they're part of a family. And I have to say that I've been in church a long time, and I haven't always felt that, and I love coming to be part of my family on Sunday mornings. When I come up here into the pulpit, I'm usually saying, Lord Jesus, thank you. I feel so blessed today. Because this has been a family that's cared for us, a family that's loved us. It's been family, so it's not always been perfect and easy. But it's a place of connection that's been really a blessing to my family. And so I'm praying that that's the experience that you'll have. But you'll have to do your part as well, right? The third one is servant. We believe that a core identity, part of being a disciple of Jesus, when we talk about authentic discipleship, is to serve. Our goal is for every disciple of Jesus to embrace a servanthood way of life, that you're serving the church, you're serving the community, you figure out ways in which you can serve and be helpful, and that's part of who we are as a church. The fourth one is that we'd be witness. Our goal is for every disciple of Jesus to live as missionaries wherever they live, and that we would have a heart and a passion to be a witness to the community. And this is my special emphasis of these six core for today. Okay, so the six that we're going to look at, this is my special emphasis. This is where we will live or die as a church. If we don't have a heart to reach out and reach people for Christ, we will find a day when this building will be empty. And when this building will trickle down just like the church that used to be here did. And all of a sudden, one day, there's so few people that they decided they had to close their doors. All around the community, all around the world, that's happening. And part of the reason is people aren't having a heart for witness. Our goal is that we would see ourselves as missionaries wherever it is that we go. And that we're committed to sharing the gospel with people. This is how a church should grow, is by people coming to faith in Christ. And so you're going to hear us talk about a lot this year a lot. And some of you have heard us already talking about casting, fishing. You know, the more you cast, who's been fishing this year so far? All right. The rest of us, I haven't been fishing, so my hand's down. Who's been fishing? Raise your hand high. Okay, the rest of us haven't caught a single fish, have we? Because we haven't been fishing, right? If you weren't fishing, you might not have caught anything, but you were casting, right? Let's turn that into a spiritual thing. If I'm not casting, if I'm not looking for ways to share the gospel, if I'm not looking for ways to connect with people, it's not going to happen. One of the ways that we've been saying this lately, I think it's really helpful, is what we're asking for and what we're asking you to do is to have good conversations with people. And good conversations that might actually turn to God conversations. And God conversations that might turn to gospel conversations. But you can't have any of those without starting with a good conversation. Real quick, two quick stories. I was at a grad party the other day, just yesterday, for a relative. We hadn't seen him for a while. When we got there, there's literally only three people that we knew. And the whole grad party, you know how uncomfortable that can be. So my wife, they finish up and they're leaving. And they go sit in the car. And I'm talking to this lady and her two boys over here. I get in the car and Sherry said, where do you know them from? I didn't know him from anywhere, but I'm just wired that way, right? I'm wired that the way I'm designed, I can have conversations with people I don't know. Some of you are like that, right? And you can go to a party like that. My wife was like, I knew two people. I was about done. I was like, oh, I got to know two new people, right? And that's how we're wired differently. So it doesn't mean that it's better one way or the other, but we still all have to work on it, right? So I'm more naturally bent that way. Those of you who aren't naturally bent that way, you still have conversations. You still have people you know. And we can all grow in our care and concern for people. One of my friends, we were coworkers for a decade. We've known each other much longer than that. One day she said to me, she goes, Dean, you're really good at chit-chat. She goes, I'm no good at chit-chat. And I said, well, yeah, that's because you don't like people. And she goes, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, and I'd worked with her for a decade, so I could tell her that. But that doesn't mean, right, that just because she doesn't like people, that she shouldn't be having conversations and looking for places to connect. I share those funny stories with you to say this, that casting and having good conversations that lead to God conversations, that lead to gospel conversations, is not based on our personality style, okay? God has called us all to that. It's just that we'll do it different, okay? So if you're an introvert and those conversations aren't your favorite and conversations, period, might not be your favorite, you be open to having good conversations with people. Work a little bit harder at it in order to try to connect. For those of us who are super extrovert, maybe we got to dial it back sometimes, and maybe we're having too many conversations. I don't know. But here's my point. We all are called to be a part of the disciple-making process. So my special emphasis today is witness. We need to be passionate moving forward, and we need to be open and ready for witness because the gospel needs to be brought to people. The last two core identities are prayer and being a learner. Our goal is for prayer to be a central part of our spiritual life. You saw four young people's pictures up here today. Pray for them. I'm going to challenge you I'm going to encourage you to pick one of those young people and pray for them. And say to yourself, I'm going to be a prayer warrior for that person. Because we believe in prayer. I'm going to challenge you to be in prayer that we will carry out our purpose and our vision and our core identities as a church. The last one of our core identities being a learner. Our goal is for every disciple of Jesus to embrace a life of continual learning, that you'll continually be growing, that we never get to the place and say, well, I've been following Jesus a long time. I don't need to read my Bible anymore. I've been following Jesus a long time. I don't need to read anymore and grow. I don't have to have good spiritual discussions. We never get to that place. We want to be continual learners, that we're always growing. That's why we have things like Rock Hill Institute. That's why we have small groups and city groups. That's why we have book clubs sometimes where people are reading books together and having good discussions, because we want to be lifelong learners. All right, so what's my passion for today? What's my burden for you this Vision Sunday? First, that you would be on mission, that we would be on mission together, that we would put aside some of our differences and put aside all the things that can pull away from that mission, and that we would focus on being on mission together, and that we would be on mission together to make disciples everywhere, right here and across the world. My passion this morning is that we would spend time praying through and embracing the vision and purpose statement, that we would actually know it as the people of the church, that we would spend some time looking at it, and so that we would know it and we could say, yeah, this is what we're about. My other passion today is that we would commit to growing and participating in the six core identities, that you would look at those six and go, what are the areas that I need to grow in? What are the areas that I'm not doing, so that you might grow in your discipleship? And finally, that you would make witness a priority and keep casting, or start casting. If you've not casted, start casting. If you've been casting, keep casting, because the harvest is plentiful. The fish are ready to bite. It's the workers that are few, Jesus tells us. Listen, God wants us to be on mission with him, and this is what we think that looks like. This is what we think that looks like, being on mission with God. So let's do it. And as Pastor Josh always says to the youth, let's go. He says, let's go. Let's be about something together as a church. And my passion is that we be about making disciples, and that we would see a vision for our church, and that we would grab onto the vision that's already been laid out by our leaders, grab it and go with it. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads. Just listen to what the Lord might be saying to you this morning.